you ask someone to sum up the West Tigers in the last 10 years, the most common answer would be failure. The West Tigers, since Tim Sheens' prelim final berths in 2010 and 2011, have been that way, and the Tigers have built themselves as a legacy of failure. Their best place finish is 9th, and have been mocked by the media ever since. From Jason Taylor's public fallout with Robbie Farah, to Ivan's bust that really couldn't get out of first gear. Now Madge's Tigers always in a game mantra seems to be on its last legs. This is League Legacy, Season 2, Episode 5. The West Tigers, a legacy of failure.
Welcome, everyone, to the second season of League Legacy, episode number 5, The West Tigers, Legacy of Failure. First of all, I need to address the fact why we haven't done one of these episodes in a very, very long time. Well, obviously, COVID played a massive role. My HSC got pushed back to November, and I've only just graduated school this week. So that's the delay. I'm sorry, things will pick up soon. But anyway, we are here today to discuss the lolcow, the embarrassment of the West Tigers. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Reece Sullivan. Reece, nice to welcome you back.
Oh, it's good to be back, man. It's been a long time coming. And this podcast
isn't making this particular one,
so it's going to be really fun to finally get it done.
We've been building this one for a long time, and I've been waiting patiently to do it. So what we're going to discuss today is how the West Tigers went from one game out of the grand final in 2010 to its current status of mediocrity. So I think how we're going to start this story today is we're going to start it back in 2011. The Tigers were one game out of the preliminary final and were looking to build a solid foundation. Now, many had them, actually, as premiership favourites going into the season. But things didn't go well.
To be fair, even when they got to the finals in 2011, you know, they knocked out the Dragons. So saying that they could be a smoky for the premiership because
that was the last year of the McIntyre system too, if I'm correct on that one. So
yes, you are correct.
So it would have been very interesting. Of course, the Tigers season didn't start off too well. They had some embarrassing losses. They lost to the Bulldogs. They lost to the Roosters. That Roosters game is only memorable because Todd Carney ran over Tony Archer. That was memorable. Very memorable. They lost to the Wooden Spoonists, the Gold Coast. Then they also lost to Brisbane, which is traditional because you had that Easter.
Isn't it an embarrassing loss since Brisbane ended up finishing third, but still.
Yeah. So by round 18, the Tigers were outside the eight after some inconsistent footy. Yeah, they had some good wins where they knocked over Canberra 49-12 and a memorable comeback in Auckland against the Warriors when they were down 22-4 with 15 minutes to go and Benji Marshall comes back and delivers the victory. And that game was remembered too because Marshall did the Sam Walker and it was an absolute all-in at the end of the game. Classic shithousery move, I might add that one. So by round 19, the Tigers win 8 straight. Sorry, they win 7 straight to close out and finish inside the top 4. So it shows that these pieces are there for the Tigers and it's there on a consistent basis. Like their best team was Timmy Moulton at fullback, who is such a tragedy that we've lost him to the game.
Moulton had so
he was healthy. Especially
that 2011 season. You know, when he was healthy, he was up there as one of the best 8 fullbacks in the league.
I think, was this the season where he signed for St. George and backflipped, or was that the following year?
No, I believe that's 2012, because it's 2012 because the Tigers had planned to do Tedesco for 2013. So he felt he didn't have a place at the club, and he signed with the Dragons, but then the Tigers came back to him and said, if you stay with us, we'll give you a chance to fight for your spot.
Yeah, that's right, 2012. I just wasn't sure, that's all.
Yeah, all good.
So, and they also had a wife basher at halfback in Robert Louis, who had been controversially cleared by the NRL to return and prompted commentators to refuse to acknowledge them when they played, most notably Dan Ganane. But we get to the final series, and the Tigers, as Reese mentioned earlier, knock off the defending premiers 21 points to 12 at Stadium Australia, and it once again shows that the Tigers were a genuine force. The next week, they took on the Warriors, who came off a 40 points to 10 hiding at the hands of the Broncos, including a match that Manu Vadavai would rather forget.
That's Manu anyway, so...
There's a lot of things we want to forget at the moment with poor Manu, but we really have to be careful with what we say. So the Tigers led 18-6 at halftime.
It's a pen done for defamation here, so...
Contempt of court. We don't want that to happen. We'll be building up for a lawsuit anytime soon. 6 at halftime. You might assume the Tigers or the Warriors will pack it in, but they don't. They somehow score a few late tries before we get to the 78th minute, and James Maloney puts up this crossfield kick. There's a scramble in the air before Chris Ninu grabs it and reaches out for the line. And from memory, this was a benefit of the doubt decision from the video referee.
Yeah, correct.
Some correct. Of our younger listeners will have no idea what we're talking about.
I can't believe they never got to see the old video referee graphics.
That's what we've got, is the OG generation of rugby league.
We literally lived in the perfect graphics rugby league, because you said it a couple of weeks ago, the Fox Sports graphics from 07 to 2010 are better than the Fox Sports graphics they have now.
Exactly, and I'm still very firm on that. So the Tigers bow out pretty disappointingly. So we get to 2012 with the Tigers. It's a horror start. They start the season with one win and five losses. And that first win came at Tiger Town against the Sharks. And that game's notable for a certain fullback making his first grade debut in Jimmy Tedesco.
And it ended very, very quickly, unfortunately.
It did end very, very quickly. He did his ACL off a kick return. And he was out on the floor in absolute agony. And I was watching this game, and I read the rap, I believe the hype, with Teddy. And it was just shattering watching that game. Yeah.
I don't think it was going
to... Yeah.
But even 2012, coming through NYC, he was looked at as a guy who at the very least would be the Tigers fullback for the next decade. And to see him half a
minute game,
it wasn't very pretty. Dreadful. Yeah.
And again, case in point for why we need a national youth competition in the NRL at the moment.
Oh, 100%.
We could be here debating this issue on another podcast in its entirety, and the mistakes that the games administration has had. But I think for generations coming into rugby league, that is a massive loss. Statewide competitions like the Jersey Flag, like the Hastings Deerings in Queensland, won't be enough to sustain junior talent coming especially, through the systems.
Especially if they aren't televised.
That's the other thing. And I know they're doing better. They are televising some games on social media and everything, but it's not enough. It's not enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, rant over. So, I've been wanting to say... Go on.
This podcast
is what we actually talk about, and the other half is just going on. Like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but yeah.
Very important we bring this up, though, Reese.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said,
I'm just
saying it's an interesting subplot. Yeah, exactly.
It is. So the Tigers lose some embarrassing games. They lose against the Dragons and the Raiders, and they're down in 15th position. This is compounded by Robbie Farah going on NRL on Fox. Now, I would play the interview in this podcast, but the audio quality is so terrible that it wouldn't even be worth me trying. So I'm going to explain this thing in a little bit further. So Matty Johns is pressing Robbie Farah. This is pre-comedy Matty Johns, and I like the footy side of Matty Johns because he's so smart in what he's able to say. And he pushes Robbie Farah here. He's like, can I delve a little further? And he goes, Robbie goes, yeah, go ahead. What about this rumor about you and Benji? And he goes, and the quote from this that I've got from Robbie Farah is, it's absolute bullshit. It pisses me off and it pisses Benji off. That's what the media is meant to do, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of rumors flying around, but the Tigers didn't have the best relationship among the dressing room. And ultimately, that is what cost Tim Sheens his job originally. He's back now, somehow. But but realistically, I think you always get those rumors with teams that are struggling. And it's always the media trying to look for a story. And what Robbie did was he gave.
I think, and you're exactly right, but he also gives this story 2 years later, and again, knifes a coach in the back, which we'll get to a little bit later as well. So the Tigers do bounce back after losing 18-14 to Brisbane on Good Friday, in which their young forward, Matt Grote, gets ironed out by a Ben Teo shoulder charge, which is the catalyst for the shoulder charge being deemed illegal.
I was at that game. And we were sitting in a, like, I'm just going to story here. We were sitting in a section of a mix between Broncos and Tigers fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so that game, the Broncos were wearing their away jersey, which 2012 was a yellow jersey with a maroon sort of shoulder stripe.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yep. So when poor old Matty got ironed out and he was on the floor, one of the blokes behind us yelled out, "Oh, I didn't realize he was allergic to peanut M&Ms."
But there was not only that incident that led to the shoulder charge. I think Frank Pritchard had one on David Simmons. And then obviously the other one was Dean Young getting ironed out by GI.
Yeah, so 2012 wasn't a pretty year for shoulder charges. I'll just say that.
No. So back on track, the Tigers end up winning 7 straight. They're back in the top 4 all as well. Then they go to Leichhardt and get beaten up by the Roosters. And the Roosters in this era were absolutely dog shit. I spoke about this in the Sharks franchise episode we did. Hang on, the Roosters did well in a game Brayford Nasta played in? This can't be right. I only remember this game because Ben Murdoch-Masil is going at the line and Minicello does that strip.
Oh, was that game?
Yeah, it was that game.
I thought that was in 2013.
No, it was 2012. We go to round 21, round 22. They play Parramatta, and they're debuting this young Fijian sensation called Marika Korobedi. Now,
by the way, more hyped as a youngster than Tedesco.
I'd say that. And he comes into grade and scores 4 tries on debut, equaling Jordan Atkins' mark for most tries in a debut game. So, Marika Korobedi, well done.
Talking about living up to the hype.
He was a good product, which we'll get to later. So, they win that game 51-26 to get themselves in the 8. And then they lose 3 straight to end the year against Canterbury and Golden Point. The Roosters, 44-20. And that score was inflated because the Roosters led 44-4 with 10 to go. And then they get beat by Melbourne 26-6. And as Reece alluded to, Tim Sheens would leave the club at the end of the season.
Which, in my opinion, was an interesting sacking because the Tigers, they sort of had a fair few injuries. Like, Gareth Ellis only played 11 games. I know he ended up leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Fulton only played 20 games, Galloway 18, Hyington missed 4 games, you know.
I might just jump in there, Reece, because Robbie Farah playing 16 games after Origin 2, he dealt with the great personal tragedy of the loss of his mother, from memory.
That's right. But still, it still goes towards, I'm going to say, like, obviously. Yeah, I can understand why Farah missed it.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, you know, the season wasn't on Sheens. Sheens proved in the 2 years previous.
In 2005.
Sheens had proved in the 2 years previous that he could get this team to be one of the
best.
To then miss the finals once, and not massively miss it, they missed it on the last game of the season. And then sack him to miss. To this
day, it never makes sense.
And who they replaced him with might have left a few bizarre names. They go after Michael Potter from, I think he was with Bradford in the Super League. He'd been around a few clubs. He was with Catalan, did a magnificent stint at St Helens, and then he went to Bradford.
Yeah, you're correct. He's just in Bradford. I'm checking it now. How the
Bradford
to ninth place in the Super League. So obviously,
it fits in with the Tigers, to be fair.
Now, very, very clearly, Mick Potter was a phenomenal coach who was ready for the NRL level. And if you can't sense the sarcasm in my voice, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Mick Potter's first year could not have gone any worse. Adam Blair turned into one of the biggest flops in Tigers history. And yes, in my notes, I have in brackets behind Brave. It was a year of development with many players making their debuts, such as David Nofaluma, Nathan Brown, Luke Brooks and Arva Siamanafanaia, as well as the development.
Also, Sita Akuala.
Sita Akuala, yep. Big forward.
Yep, don't forget him.
Penrith as well. And we saw the emergences of guys like Tim Simona and also Marika Corabetti in his limited game time. But I think he had a dislocated elbow in that season. So the Tigers started the year okay. They were 2-1. And then they go on a losing streak that spans 7 games. The most embarrassing of these includes a 54-10 loss at the hands of South Sydney, where Benji Marshall earns the nickname Benji Marshall, as he was benched for the game.
Still 2 weeks.
That was away.
Mm-hmm. Logic. I think that was Origin period.
Yeah, but it shows you how good of a coach Potter is to make a player captain who he had just... I knew you would go there.
I was going there.
I knew you would.
I was going there. I'm just too smart. I can just read your mind. But there's a game.
Not too smart.
Do something else.
So we go to round 13. It's a game at Penrith. Panthers are up 18-0. You think, oh, they're going to be sweet. So we get to the second half. Tigers are on their way back. Off a 20-meter tap, this is before the days of a 7-tackle set, I might add. Tim Simona gets the ball off a tap, throws a dummy that would fool anybody, and runs 70 meters to score and gets the score to 20-18. And I look at the team for the Tigers this day. Sean Meaney at fullback, very talented, not. David Nofaluma, again, same thing. He's all right at the moment. But Masafa Asefa, rest in peace, was at hooker.
Yeah.
So,
you missed over the best name on the entire team list there.
Who did I miss?
Joel fucking Reddy was playing center for them.
Oh, God. No, the best name on that team list is Brafe, and they're playing him at 13.
usually, having a team with Sean Meaney, Joel Reddy, and Brayton Nesta. That's usually a 50-point loss.
Yep.
Never mind. I just realized what Panthers were doing. That's
Okay. So they get their best performance of the year actually came in a match against Melbourne. And you're probably thinking, AJ, how is this possible? They won 22-4 at Leichhardt against the Melbourne side with Billy Slater and Cooper Cronk in it. So we need to give them some acknowledgement. They did something good this season. Oh, hang on. I figured out why they won. Guess who's not in that lineup? Brave.
Oh, that's not a coincidence.
Brave's not in the lineup and the Tigers win.
Look, listen to the forward pack they beat because, you know, obviously they have Cronk and Slater, but listen to the forward pack, all right? Jesse Bromwich, Ryan Hinchcliffe, Brian Norrie, Kevin Proctor, Ryan Hoffman, Torhu Harris.
That's not bad.
They were going against a forward pack of Aaron Woods, Robbie Farah, washed-up Adam Blair, Lee
Dean Thompson,
and Swaso Sue. The tie
gave 18 points.
It was a pretty convincing display, in my opinion. So they go from there, and then by the end of the season, it's basically over. So Michael Maguire gives a debut in round 24 in pretty controversial circumstances to Luke Brooks. The controversy of...
Hang on a sec. Who's the coach?
Oh, I said, did I say Maguire?
Early there, mate.
I'll tell you what, if you go that early in other things in your life, your girlfriend...
Damn! So, Michael Potter, I mean, they both have the same coaching ability, so... It's easy to get confused. Luke Brooks makes his debut. The reason it's controversial is because in these days, the NRL were a lot stricter on the second-tier salary cap. And they wouldn't let Luke Brooks debut. They wanted him to debut the week prior against the Roosters. Glad he didn't because the Roosters won 56-14. But Luke Brooks has a field day against the Tigers. Dragons. Scoring a try. Sorry, against the Dragons. And sets up a few tries.
These late night recording sessions are bad for you. You need to be in bed by now, Grandpa. Seriously.
It's probably the medication I'm on, to be fair. So, we get to that, essentially. And it's also memorable for it being Jason Robinson's last game in first grade as a referee, as well as Phil Haynes, because Phil Haynes was injured. Typical. So, we get to 2014. And... by Tigers standards, this is actually an improved season. And by the way they started the season, you're probably thinking they're in for good things. Although a round one loss doesn't help, they beat the Gold Coast, Manly, South Sydney, North Queensland, and Parramatta to be inside the top two by the seventh round of the season. However, the season turns on a knife's edge following an innocent-looking chat between Gordon Tallis and Robbie Farah. We said back in 2012 that spilling to the media never ends well.
Oh, hang on a sec.
Doesn't change.
Hang on a sec. Completely glossed over the entire Benji Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Forgot. I have that in my notes, too. I have my notes, too. So, Benji Marshall, we're just going to backtrack for a second here. So, Benji Marshall does...
There's too much to talk about in this podcast. We miss a lot.
This actually ties in very well with the whole Viliami Kikau photo thing we were talking about earlier. Because Benji Marshall, before the season had finished, pre-recorded a video from his apartment in an Auckland Blues jersey, if I'm not mistaken. So he recorded this thing.
And
in
yeah,
Blues jersey.
Yeah.
What time is it?
You think Penrith fans were pissed about the Kikau thing? This was a whole new level.
And it was for 2015.
No, it was 14. Because he
was it?
Because he came. Because remember, he started the year, and then halfway through 2014, he signs with St. George.
No. I meant he was going to go to the Blues in 2015, originally, when he signed the...
Let's check this.
It was deal for 20... I'm pretty sure it was a deal for 20...
His contract
with the Tigers before going over. But anyway, while you're checking, I'll say, like, there's a few things I'll never forget, and one of them is the...
Marshall going to the Blues.
I'll never forget.
It was 2014, dude. Yeah,
I swear that he was. I swear they released him early.
Yeah, he sought a release from his contract in July 2013.
Yeah.
So we were close enough. We were close enough.
So basically,
Benji
accent, you know?
He
played with
the New South Wales. I really fuck a time there.
That's the start of when the footy show went downhill.
Yeah, pretty much.
But back on track. We're going back to 2014, and of course, this innocent chat between Gordon Tallis and Robbie Farah in a Triple M Sydney studio. Robbie Farah casually admits to Gordy that Michael Potter can't coach. And as you look through the history that Reece and I went through, he wasn't entirely wrong.
Like, it's not exactly breaking news that Mick Potter can't coach, you know?
The highlight of this, I might add, was an interview Danny Widler did with Michael Potter.
Where he put Widler as the cover photo, as usual?
He's just like to him, oh, I think you need to do a little bit more research on that.
What, on Farah?
Yep, on Farah. Like, on Farah's comments.
To hundreds of thousands of listeners.
Yep, and which Gordy repeated. So from then, which was round 20, I believe, they lose 28-6 to Melbourne, 64-6 to North Queensland, 48-4.
This was a Cowboys side that wasn't the team that would be the Premiers. This was a Cowboys side that was very inconsistent, and they won 64-6.
It was a good team, to be fair.
It was a good... No, it was... Don't get me wrong. But exactly a team you would expect to win a game 64-6.
Roosters do them 48-4. Canterbury get them 30-10. Canberra get them 27-12. And then they do win the last game. Go on.
But they dropped from 9th in that losing streak.
A finals berth.
All the way down.
Do we really count that last win as a win? They were beating up on a Shark side that were legal, essentially.
mate, any win against the 2013 or 2014 Sharks should have an asterisk next to them. That way, as a Broncos fan, I don't feel so bad that team made a comeback against us.
So I'm in that boat too.
Yeah, that's the one thing we have in common with our footy teams. We both got embarrassed by the 2014 Sharks in back-to-back weeks as well.
You at least did it when their actual caretaker coach was in charge. We did it with their caretaker coach in charge.
You got beat up by Michael Carrick.
Basically. Also, go and check out the Cronulla Sharks podcast episode if you missed that one, because that was a very good episode until Reece bowed halfway through.
Sorry, that was on me. That one was on me.
So, Michael Potter gets the arse because Tigers management don't care about improving whatsoever. They just want to go for the new retread. And their retread was poaching Roosters under-20s coach Jason Taylor.
Who, by the way, his last appointment at an NRL level ended up after he punched on with one of his own players.
That was far longer, wasn't it? I think it's far longer. So... Typical. So we get to their signings. They get... Yes. Coach number 3 in 5 years, though, isn't exactly what I'd call superstar mode. But they do get the human paintbrush, Kevin Nagama from Penrith, who's now at the Rooster, so...
At the time, Nagama had... He was pretty decent his first couple of seasons with Penrith.
He still is pretty decent.
Yeah, but he didn't... At the time, from what he was.
No, and they also picked up Scott Drinkwater, but they did lose... They finally got rid of the cancer of Adam Blair.
And he ended up becoming the Brisbane.
Marika's the player of the club. They got rid of Corabetti too, which I'm filthy about, because Corabetti was has turned into a talent with Melbourne and is now an international with Australia and was voted the John Eales medalist in 2019.
Yep.
As well as they finally got rid of Brave, so this is actually a decent offseason.
They've well, got rid of Adam Blair. Got rid of Brave just 100.
Still the same thing. If you can rid yourself of Brave, you're doing very well. So 2015 for the Tigers, you can kind of deem this in three sections. You got the first half, the second half, the middle half. First half of the season went okay. You win four games, including some
lose four games.
And they lose four games, exactly. So, but I think the 1 point loss against Canterbury was unlucky. And there was also a game against Canberra where they led 22-0, I think, and got ran down. But that game was interesting because there was a tackle count error that cost the Tigers on their final set, if you remember.
Yes, I do, actually.
There was a tackle count error where they only got four tackles instead of five.
Yeah.
Which goes to show refs are human, just like everybody else, and they're allowed to make mistakes.
Oh, try telling that to Andrew Fina.
So,
no, it's refereeing junior league.
It's embarrassing.
You shouldn't be an NRL player.
I agree with that. But also what I don't like is, at a grassroots level, they're doing so much better at protecting referees. And I applaud them for that. But what I don't applaud is when you get referees, and we're going to use the Roosters-Souths example, Dane Gagai unleashes a few four-letter words at Ashley Klein, gets 10 in the bin and, what, a $1,500 fine? How's that going to convince kids that swearing is not okay?
It's not. I mean, if you, they're going to look at it and go, oh, but they're also going to realize how much money he makes compared to that.
Very stupid. So back on track, they lose four straight to the Roosters. That's okay. Newcastle, who were last, the Cowboys, and then they lose to the Titans. And then they beat up on South Sydney during Origin period, which Martin Taupau ran over someone from memory and scored a good try. And then they lose another five straight games against
you're Manly. You're starting to get... Because even in their early... It was back...
So bad trend to have.
Yeah,
there's a trend emerging
in Tigers now.
Yeah, and not a good one. They don't look like they're always in the game in this one, to be fair. So they lose to Manly, Penrith, Parramatta, Brisbane, and the Roosters. Then they win two straight, which they wore those stupid superhero jerseys against Melbourne.
Those were...
interesting.
Awesome.
When I was 14... But now that I'm 20, they're very cringe.
I've got to confess, I've got both a Captain America and Spider-Man one. I've got to confess.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, man. You were 12 years old at the time, like.
I had to enjoy my life. And then
it'd be a dream come true for you. Seriously,
it was a dream come true. Trust. So Canberra, they played Canberra, and this game's remembered because we had our first send off in 2 years. Yes. David Shillington gets sent off for a 77th-minute headbutt on Aaron Woods.
Which, realistically, at that point, send off because they are coming back anyway.
I'm just surprised I had the guts to send somebody off. Even in that era alone.
Especially with David Shillington. Have you seen the side of that bloke?
I don't care. My dad, who's a Roosters fan, when he was at the Roosters, called him a human pillow.
Yeah, he was built... like a shit.
Like Tarzan, walk like Jane.
Yeah, there we go.
And then they lose to Newcastle, Cronulla, before bouncing back with a big win over the Warriors and then finishing off with the Tigers. But before we go to 2016, we do have to address one thing. Robbie Farah v. Jason Taylor. Robbie Farah taking on his third coach in as many seasons, but this time Jason Taylor is sticking to his guns.
Yeah.
The thing with Potter was he
to defend himself from the criticism.
Yeah.
And, you know, make it all about, oh, no, I think, you know, while Robbie...
It's true.
Jason Taylor turned around and said, okay, well, you know, Robbie can point out my flaws, but he's not perfect himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really ended up hurting Robbie, because he, whereas with Potter, he was able to sort of get the support from the public and people.
This guy is
pretty bad at coaching.
Yeah.
With Taylor, because Taylor was firing back so much, he didn't get that support. And ultimately, when he was shown the door at the Tigers, no one was really surprised.
No, we'll get to that later, because he ends up getting dropped to reserve grade in 2016. But early on 2016, it looks like much the same for the Tigers. Good start to the season before an embarrassing losing streak, culminating in a 60-6 loss to the Canberra Raiders. Not the first embarrassing loss to Canberra that we'll discuss in this year. But the Tigers... was that a Viking horn?
They remember the city losses to Canberra. The 60-6 loss, and then, you know, how I reacted to the other one. I remember that. Because we'll obviously,
you can do your reenactment later.
obviously, there were a bunch of Tigers fans on you, and that brings back so many good memories. I can't wait.
All your dreams coming alive. But they do bounce back in round 9 and beat South Sydney before beating Newcastle. Wasn't too hard in that year. And Brisbane, and unearth a young winger by the name of Josh Adokar. Himself played 9 games.
There's beginning to become it
of the Tigers.
Really friggin' good wingers. And then watching away from the club.
But we won't do a Fox Sports and compose what could have been lineup, because we're trying to be different.
It's funny that the only one
they've actually kept of those, and he hasn't. He's been pretty much just empty tries his whole career,
practically. So, and then they go.
Have proven to contribute more than just try scoring.
Yeah.
Nofaluma hasn't.
100%. So then they go and play the Roosters, who I've spoken about the Roosters in 2016 before. We were garbage. And we go on to beat the Tigers 32-18, where Connor Watson scores a try and for the first time made me convince myself Latrell was not a fullback. But the less about that, I'm saving that discussion for the season preview.
Yeah, Jason Dimitri needs to... Either way.
So, they go on a win-loss-win-loss tangent until... By about round 22, they beat the Cowboys at home and they're within earshot of the 8. They go to Campbelltown in Jared Haynes' reunion for the Gold Coast as he returns home to Campbelltown. About just midway through the second half, a bomb goes up. In steps Ryan James and absolutely knocks out and breaks James Tedesco's jaw.
Honestly, between that incident, because it was really a cheap shot. First of all, what the hell's a prop doing anywhere near a fullback in that situation? But between that, you know, obviously him forgetting his lines in the grand final. He's going to be playing for Brisbane next season. Or realistically, he's going to be playing for one of our Queensland Cup teams.
Can I just hold you on something? Guess how many weeks Ryan James got?
2, if I remember correctly.
None.
You right. Seriously?
He got off at the judiciary. Proof that our system is broken. Imagine him going to the judiciary on that charge today.
You get 1 week.
Maybe a bit more of the crackdown. Who knows? But we get to the end of 2016, and the escalating feud between Robbie Farah and Jason Taylor has come to a screeching halt. Robbie Farah was benched for the remainder of the season by the Lord of Saber himself after round 17. And at Leichhardt Oval, one of the New South Wales Cup games, I remember this sign, it screamed out, FJT, ya wanker. And again,
like,
this...
like I said with the support with the Farah instance, like obviously a lot of the was sort of split on Farah versus Taylor, but the Tigers fans themselves were 100%
behind
Robbie, or at least 90%.
I agree.
So while everyone else was looking at it going, oh yeah, what JT's doing actually makes sense in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Tigers fans genuinely
thought he was the reincarnation of the devil himself.
They thought he was Benny Elias 2.0.
Good call.
So this forces Farah to leave, and Jason Taylor essentially wins the first part of the war. But Jason Taylor would only last another 3 games. After a strong showing against South Sydney, they lose their next 2 quite convincingly, and Jason Taylor is sacked 3 games into the season. The board is at this point incompetent. However, the Tigers decide to appoint a bus driver to become their head coach.
Wait. We missed the last game of the season, 2016.
Oh, God. I am doing so well today. So, the Tigers were on the doorstep of the 8. A win, and you're in. Because the Titans had lost on Saturday night at North Queensland. Sold out Leichhardt. Yeah. And the moment Joey Leilua did a round-the-corner flick pass, you just knew.
The worst part about this is Canberra weren't even good in 2016.
They were second.
Wait, were they? Oh, yeah, no, that was 2016.
Canberra were good
in 2016. But I still had, like, people in my ear. I'm telling you, I told you, I had all these Tigers fans at school. And they know their names. And yes, you know one of their names too. But you know, they were all in my ear in that week because that win against the Warriors in round 25, it gave them hope that they could win without Tedesco.
Not for losing the fullbacks, the first red flag.
Yeah, exactly. So all week they were going around telling me about how
they were gonna come in
and absolutely wipe the floor with Canberra and get to the finals and then go on its massive finals run. I might be exaggerating a little bit there, but you get what I was saying. They were 100% confident that they were going to, at the very least, beat Canberra. Then they went out there and they lost 52 points to 10.
I just remember that round the corner flick pass, and you just knew it wasn't going to be their day.
Oh, mate. When Joey Leilua is actually pulling that stuff off in a game, he is the best center in the world. But I think the more concerning thing was that Papali'i scored a double. If
Papali'i one try
on you, you're in trouble. If he scores a double, then you're no longer an NRL franchise, buddy.
That's why Cooper Cronk did the professional foul in the grand final. We wanted to be safe.
tactics.
Exactly. So we go to 2017 now, and the Tigers start the year up 1-2, but Jason Taylor gets the arse due to incompetent management. The Tigers then decide to hire a bus driver as their head coach. Enter Ivan Cleary. And no, I don't know which bus is more successful, Ollie's or Ivan's.
I mean, Ollie's lasted longer, but they both got pretty much as far as each other. So, but I wouldn't say one more thing. Because Ollie won more games, but not really when they mattered.
Exactly. So the bus driver, Ivan, won his first game against the Cowboys. Then they go on to beat Canterbury, Newcastle, the Gold Coast, Manly, and the Warriors to finish 14th on the season. So the Tigers only won those 6 games, but Cleary goated fans into believing the myth of the bus and signing of the past their prime players, which include the following: Robbie Farah, Mahe Fanua, Peter Godinay, Benji Marshall, Chris McQueen, Ben Matalino, Moses Mbai, Russell Packer, Robbie Rocco, Josh Reynolds, and Corey Thompson. The only player that did anything good there was Corey Thompson.
Yeah, that signing of Farah was just really what had happened at the start of Cleary's reign, where they had the four players all off contract. The Fantastic Four: Brooks, Moses, Woods, Tedesco. And there were talks, all right, that maybe that was the big talk at the start of the season.
Moses, but then,
yeah, but then it seemed like the other three, it was kind of, you know, with Brooks, it was sort of like he's probably going to stay at the Tigers, but Woods and Moses were more 50-50.
Yeah.
So then Taylor was willing to give them as much time as they wanted to make a decision. Mm-hmm. But when his vision now, so he turned around and gave all of them, I think this was heading into round, they had the bye, round 11. Taylor gave them a deadline before the game on round 13, June the 3rd. All four of the players needed to make a decision.
Tedesco was announced to the Roosters in May the 4th.
Oh, May the 4th. I was a bit off. Okay, so it was the
rep round weekend, sorry.
Okay. The rep round weekend, yes. That's where. In that rep round weekend, they all four were to make a decision. Otherwise, the Tigers would renege the contracts. So in that week, it was announced that Tedesco had signed with the Roosters. It was announced that Woods had signed with the Bulldogs, and it was announced signed with the need.
Yes.
So a situation that wasn't optimal for the Tigers, but was under control.
100%.
Massively butchered by Cleary.
Can I just say, too, the Brooks replacement, sorry, not the Brooks, the Moses replacement was healed largely by the signing of Tui Lolahia.
For a little while, yeah, before he got fat.
Yeah, before yeah. So that situation was somewhat under control, the 5'8 situation. So we get to 2018, where this bus era began, and they got given a horror draw to start the season. They had to play the Roosters, Melbourne twice, Brisbane, and Parramatta. But this is before Parramatta went to shit in 2018, to be fair.
Yeah, Parramatta went to shit in 2018 towards... Well, to be fair, Parramatta lost their first six games in 2018. They were just shit the whole year.
Yeah. So the most memorable of these were the back-to-back wins over the Roosters and the Storm. And I know you'll disagree with me, but they got incredibly unlucky against Brisbane.
That Brisbane game was the best worst game of footy I've ever seen.
I just like how the refs had the guts to go give a penalty and golden point for a change.
Yeah, I agree.
That call in that moment, I don't know.
I think looking back on it, I think that's why you would give it a penalty. But
hindsight, 20-30.
With the context of the game where it was, it's
tedious.
I wouldn't have done the same thing, that's for sure.
Yeah. So by round six they're in fourth position, then they go on a free game skid, losing to Newcastle by a Jamie Bure crossfield kick. Then they lose to Parramatta, which we just spoke about was embarrassing. The Warriors before rebounding to beat North Queensland. They'd only win a select handful of games all year, but they were still in top eight contention due to reasons.
Let's just say the 2018 season, to put it, to summarize it in two words.
Predictable.
Was fucking crazy.
It was crazy, but the Tigers were out of finals contention after a loss to St. George, I believe. At Leichhardt?
Yeah, correct.
They were fully out by then.
Yeah.
So the Dragons went from fourth at Leichhardt to seventh.
With a win, mind you. That's how...
First at eight.
Was 2 points. The top four teams were all on 34 points. And the bottom four were all on 32.
Yep. For and against is a massive difference in this league.
I remember actually having a back and forth with Jordan Kahu on that, where he thought I was having a go at him for that incident against the Bulldogs at the start of the year, where the Bulldogs, this was in their phase with Des Hasler, where they tried to play analytic ball and do short dropouts every time.
Was this the game where he kicked a field goal at halftime?
I think so, yeah. So the ball didn't go 10 metres and Kahu picked it up.
And it's a penalty.
So he thought I was having a go at that, saying it cost us the season, when realistically...
Fucking
ridiculous.
Hopefully he hears this and...
what I was saying.
I love Jordan Kahu based off the fact that for 2017-19 he didn't know what the shot clock was.
he said it best, you know. You can
take
the player out of the game, but you can't take the game out of the player.
So, 2018.
I'm honestly surprised he never jumped on a ball that went out of bounds and tried to throw it in for a line. To be honest.
So by the end of the season, the rumor mill was running hot. Gus had sacked Anthony Griffin, and was desperate to get Ivan back. Which
very
is controversial in itself.
Yeah.
However, the Tigers thought they would get Nathan to join Ivan at Concord, but the Panthers sneakily re-signed Nathan and wooed Ivan over, leaving fans shattered and the bus burned long into the night. That's my production notes.
It was a very short bus ride. You know, usually my bus ride from school to home took about 40 minutes.
Yep.
But that wasn't even sure the bus ride, the Tigers, with Ivan Cleary.
Who was driving this bus?
probably Pasco.
Pasco. Right, we'll go
which is why I crashed so soon.
Exactly. So the Tigers end up hiring Michael Maguire, who had spent a year off, but was also coaching... Hang on, was he coaching the New Zealand side, or was it still Kidwell? No, he was coaching the New Zealand side.
Yeah.
He took it in 2018.
Almost immediately after he got sacked by South.
Okay, because I knew they had a phase with Kidwell as coach.
Oh, sorry. Not almost immediately. New Zealand had to wait and watch Kidwell lose a World Cup quarterfinal to Fiji before they sacked him.
So, we get to this. And, again, another strong start to the season. They lose two, win one, which Michael Cheekham turned into clutch mode and once again left everyone laughing at Darius Boyd. The next
that was cancer because there were four players around him. I remember that try vividly. There were four defenders around him, and there were three defenders around him.
Yeah,
and they all kind of looked at each other and waited for each other to make the tackle.
Exactly, and then they go and are part of the inaugural game at Bankwest Stadium, and just like St. George back in 1986. They rocked up to Bankwest Stadium and were utterly annihilated. 51 points to 6.
That's where the Tigers, this is our jungle meme, came.
Yep.
The Tigers actually made that their slogan. Because even though it was an Eels home game, even though it's the Eels home stadium, because the Tigers were playing there, they wanted to win so badly and say that this was their jungle, and then they come out and they lose 51 points to 6, and you have that try from Mitchell Moses, which has been replayed so many times over the last few years.
Parramatta fans will just put Welcome to the Jungle, that song over the top of the
exactly.
Of the
exactly.
So then they go to Magic Round a few weeks later, and they get their ultimate revenge on Ivan Cleary with a 26-0 run in the first half. I remember watching this game, and I remember vividly saying Penrith were done in that season.
Yeah, 2019 was very much a foundation year for Penrith, but you couldn't tell that to Tigers fans. In the eyes of Tigers fans, 2019 was the year undefeated and won the competition as well as any other trophies that presented themselves, you know? the world.
Yeah,
they cup everything, but
the Nines.
Oh, exactly, the Nines as well.
So that, they probably put all their energy into that, because then they lose to Melbourne, South Sydney, and Canberra. They go on to beat North Queensland in Golden Point in some controversial circumstances before Michael Cheekham repeated his brilliance and secured the win over South Sydney, a match infamous for George Burgess eye-gouging Robbie Farah. We go from there, and another three straight losses followed by two wins. So you notice the trend with the Tigers. They win to get their fans hyped, then they lose, and then we repeat the cycle until we get bored. Not a good way to win football games, I might add, Roosh.
Honestly, it's the worst way, because
you get 12 and 12 and
you end up either in 8th spot or not, is the best way to put it there.
So we get to round 25.
I mean, it's actually, no, I'm wrong on that. I said you'd end up in 8th spot. In 2021, you'd end up in 7th.
So we end up at round 25 again. Leichhardt Oval, the scene. Channel 9 are pissed off because they wanted to flex this game into the 4 p.m. slot rather than show Penrith v Newcastle. The one time I agree with Channel 9 about a footballing decision. Realistically, I think these flexings of time slots should have been done ages ago, and I'm all for it.
Yeah. But well, to be fair, that Penrith first Newcastle game did end up pretty good. Mostly because Nathan Cleary was just on another level.
I think he broke every point scoring record.
Yep. From memory, he scored what, 4 tries and kicked every goal?
4 tries, 9 goals. Broke Michael Gordon's record.
Yep, exactly. Just
when you sort of realized,
you know, Cleary was. Yeah, 2 years later, you look at what he's accomplished since then.
100%.
You can safely say that was his breakout game in terms of becoming a superstar.
So we get to round 25. There's a bit of drama. Corey Thompson drew down in the warm-up. So they plug Paul Momorowski from dummy half to play at fullback.
First of all, the real question was, what the hell was Paul Momorowski doing at dummy half?
Hang on, I think the jersey number's wrong. Because they've got Josh Reynolds in 9 as well, so excuse us.
Yeah.
Rugby League Projects made a boo-boo. So Momorowski goes from centre to fullback. Cheekham into the centre. Madison's in a dummy half. And Robbie Farah makes a surprise return from injury on the bench. But then the Tigers, as they always do in the big game, shit the bed.
Don't forget,
this was Farah's last game. They weren't expecting Farah to come back. He was then
his leg in round 21,
I believe it was.
Yes, that's right, round 21.
Yep. And there was no expectations he would be able to come back by the end of the season. So they just plugged him in as the 21st man. And when it was announced that
he'd play,
and that was
going to be on the bench, again, Tigers fans thought they were going to win this game. Because don't forget, this was basically a finals game.
Winning, you're in.
Yeah, whoever won this game would be 8th.
Exactly.
And the game ended with Paul Gallen kicking a field. I don't want a game to end if you're the opposition. Because if Paul Gallen's kicking field goals, generally you've done something wrong.
Wanted to go out on the last legs. So, footy's
with race.
You don't win many games if you go against the Cronulla Sharks.
Exactly. So by this stage, the Tigers for 2020 recruit well. They get Adam Dewey, Joseph Leilua, Luciano Leilua, and Billy Walters. So the season starts well. Before COVID, they get a good win over St. George Illawarra. They did all right in that game against Newcastle, which was our maiden commentary, Reece. They did all right from memory.
Yeah, they did. I mean, It wasn't a massive runaway by Newcastle. Like, they were clearly the better team, but
they just got over the top in the last 15.
Yeah, exactly.
So then the game is halted, obviously. COVID. PVL does one good thing in the game. Brings us back on May 28th. And by this stage, the Tigers get a massive game changer. Melbourne have decided to swap Paul Momorowski for Harry Grete,
which they had tried to do in the preseason, but the NRL wouldn't let them because Momorowski was earning so much more money than Grant.
Aren't exactly opposed to doing
that, but...
Exactly. So,
sorry, I had to get that.
Harry Grete had a brilliant, brilliant season. He ended up playing for Queensland, played 15 games, scored 3 tries, and was a revelation for Michael Maguire at dummy half.
He just got injured at the wrong time.
Exactly, and that was when the Tigers needed him most. However, they did have some more embarrassing losses. They lost to the Gold Coast, who were riding, I think, the longest losing streak in Australian sport.
In terms of... not the longest ever. Universities still hold that record.
In the NRL era, sorry.
In the NRL era, in terms of days. And I think... between...
It was almost
a year to the day between time. Towards the end of
2019,
they had beaten the Broncos.
That's right.
And then didn't win another game until that June 7th match against the Tigers.
Exactly. So they go on another 3-game winning streak after that. They beat the Cowboys, Canterbury, and a tight loss against Penrith, which is made all the more memorable by Joey Leilua trying to king hit Dylan Edwards.
Yeah, Joey Leilua really didn't try as a Tiger.
Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't suit Madge's game style, and I think Madge knew that.
Yeah.
And he just kept him left, right
out. I wonder if Madge keeping Joey dropped, even though it makes perfect sense, I wonder if that has contributed to Luciano leaving.
And maybe possibly getting an early release. I'm pretty sure about that. So,
wait, see that.
It's a massive wait and see. Maybe that question will be answered by our next podcast.
Okay.
So, the Tigers play Brisbane. And I know we don't want to talk about this game, Reece, but we kind of have to. And I'm sorry. They win 48-0. My favourite moment was Sam McIntyre's try. And I quote saying, Tessie New has gone ice skating.
Yeah.
In the in goal. But all the more, I remember this game in the wrong way, and it probably sucks to remember, but Corey Oates' leg injury.
Yeah, like...
It sucks to remember games based off injuries, but...
But if you're a Broncos fan, there's so many games you remember those, you know?
Yeah.
Game against the Dragons. We don't remember that we remember it for the only
reason is because he
got injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many games in Broncos history have been
because of injury. Sucks as a fan because it's this amazing
game and go, yeah, it was an awesome game to watch. It was an awesome feeling to win,
but it comes at a cost.
Because the best player broke his cheekbone because Gerard Beale jumps too high.
So the Tigers go on to win 48-0, and all of a sudden there's some hype about the Tigers. But then they lose 3 straight, including 44-4 to Newcastle. They beat Canterbury, which isn't much of an achievement in 2020, before losing to...
Did they beat Canterbury in 2021? Because I know they lost one of the games. Did they have a second game?
They beat them at the Gold Coast.
They beat them at the Gold Coast. Okay, there we go.
But they lost in Redcliffe. They lost to contenders Easts and Penrith before beating Manly, and then narrowly losing to both Souths and Parramatta before getting slaughtered by Melbourne. But overall, you could see things start to develop in a positive mindset at the Tigers as opposed to competing, because Madge had undertaken a bit of a rebuild, and there were some new pieces on the way that he was very excited about, which we'll get to in a minute.
They managed to clear out a lot. Elijah Taylor, Josh Reynolds, Russell Pack. No, sorry, he's still there. Oh, is he there anymore? Did he retire?
No, he's just retired.
He just retired, but he was there last year. He just didn't play.
And also, there's one other thing we've got to talk about.
McQueen
is number one, but the big one we've got to talk about, Oshae Ole as a groundskeeper.
That was If you had gone into 2020 telling me Josh Alloway would be in reserve grade, I would laugh in your face. But this is of having Michael Maguire as your coach. There's going to be with him.
I'll show you.
Some players
who end up constantly
end up getting dropped.
In South Sydney, the team started with the players over the coach.
Mm-hmm.
They've started, which isn't how you should run a franchise, in my opinion.
No, I agree 100%. But the Tigers do recruit well in 2021. They get Dane Laurie, Joa Fahangaui, James Tamo for some experience, Jimmy the Jet, who is still going around, I believe, next season, and my personal favourite, Stefano Utakamanu.
That was a good signing. Because the Eels really wanted to keep him.
Yeah, the Eels were desperate to keep him.
Yeah, and the fact that the Tigers managed to poach him, first of all, it really gives hopes to Tigers.
Some sort of youth
system up and running, since that's basically non-existent and with the club. But, you know, the second thing was it sort of made it clear that the vision is
getting a place to
commit themselves to the club long term.
Signing for 2020.
And Udomekano, it was pretty clear that these younger players were coming on board for something special.
I agree, massively. But the Tigers in 2021...
Do you want me to summarize it simply?
Summarize it for me.
The Tigers in 2021 were not a good football team. I think that's the best way of putting it.
I 100% agree. Let's go through some of the stuff. You beat Penrith, great. The problem is, if you beat Penrith, that's fine. But don't keep frigging bragging about it.
They bragged about beating Penrith after they lost to Penrith.
That is not how you do football. That is not how you do football. I'm sorry. But my favourite thing about it was the management... The media actively wanting to get rid of Madge.
It's weird, like, because you rarely see media coach until after they've been sacked. Like, I'll go back
to 2020.
Paul Green.
Yep.
When his future was... You had the debate in the media about whether Green should stay or go. It wasn't until Green got sacked where all of a sudden you started hearing all the...
How the... He's also bored of him.
And his style of receptive.
And then the same happened at Queensland.
Yeah, exactly. Well. but then with Maguire, you know, he, again, the media just actively turned around.
Yeah. And that's the really, problem.
Really nothing. Given how many
highest players missed this year,
you know, you had Adam Dewey.
Dewey's ACL.
Missing the last few games of that 20s.
Dane Laurie did his ankle.
Yep. Wigata was missing for a few games. Often Gowie missed games. Udomekano was missing a few games. There were a lot of injuries at the Tigers. I don't think there was much more Maguire could do, especially on paper.
And Jacob Little did play a full season.
To be fair, I don't think
he should have, but that's a story for another day.
Well, he didn't get injured, which is a positive. So
dropped. That's what I'm saying. I think I don't care if he stayed healthy. Like,
now when you got Chase Simmons there,
I agree. And looking at
the future rather than the
present.
And looking at, and that takes us to the future for the Tigers. What exactly is left to gain? Well, their squad over the next few years is very, very favourable. They've got a lot of train and trial players coming through. They've picked up Jackson Hastings, Oliver Gildart, Tyron Peachy, Junior Tupou, and they've lost Mbai, Walters, Cheekam, Packer, Sini, Leilua, Amone. And then you've got in 2023, Isaiah Papali'i and Api Koroisau coming. Maybe.
Obviously, there's been a bit of controversy around the Koroisau signing because of his age and the fact they're signing him not just vaccination as well, but more is like outside of that, more his age and the fact that they're not just signing him to a long term deal, but they're also doing it for 2023.
Yeah, that's the
but you know, that Papali'i signing
mega.
I mean, this is not the Tigers that we've just spoken about for the last hour.
Exactly. It's again, on, you know, I'm trying to find the exact list of signings that I can see.
I've got
where are we, Tigers? Yeah, I know you got it up there. I don't. You look at the players they've contracted for this. Luke Brooks is always going to be a reliable halfback. He's probably never going to be quite serviceable.
Dewey,
what he's shown so far, he's a genuine game breaker. You know, Ollie Gildart has all the potential in the world at this level. I'm really looking forward to seeing him play.
There's a but coming. I do not want him to turn into the Dan Sargentson.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Remember when he came here, there was so much hype on him, and then he plays five games and dreadful.
That's the risk
with signing English players. But I feel like the last few years, the level of professionalism with England has become more in line.
Jump.
Like, obviously, the always will be, but there's not much of a jump in terms of playing
game
versus to be ready for an NRL.
Well, I think the more Australian players that go over there and show off their class just encourages everyone else to be better.
Yeah, I agree. So then, but continuing on, you know.
His first full season with the club.
You know. Yeah. I bag North
on the wings
is going to be very,
especially
given
attribute
is probably his short kicking game. And then you got, you know, Tyron Peachy going there, who's going to be a really versatile player, who's going to be able to play multiple positions.
Ethan, where would you play him?
Yeah. 14. It's not a hard choice for me. You play him in the 14, and you just have him pop in wherever you play. You have him start a few games here.
Depending on the opponent.
Depending on what you think you'll need. But mostly I'd play him in the 14.
And then I've got one more question. With the half situation, so you've got a three-way loggerhead between Dewey, Hastings, and Brooks. Dewey's going to miss the first few games because of that ACL injury. How would you use the halves when Dewey gets back?
Center.
But have him be a roaming sort of center.
So similar to what we've seen from Manu and Turbo?
Yeah, exactly. So have it sort of be that, you know, basically
Hastings.
You got Brooks
on one side of
the field. Hastings is popping up, playing that sort of attacking half role. And then on the other side, but then he also creates the opportunity of using that three half combo plus Laurie. So it opens up, it would
do a safe
center because defensively. And offensive
play what?
It's very doable.
It's very doable, and I think
attacking
opportunities the West Tigers have not seen since Benji Marshall was throwing flick passes to Blake Ashford. So
and that's saying something.
It's been a long time for the Tigers. Obviously, we love bagging the Tigers. They have the longest active finals drought in the NRL. And we hope it stays that way for us. So we can get but the other thing is, we do want to see all 17 now. This is our first podcast since Redcliffe were officially... Sorry, since...
The Dolphins.
But we want to see all 17 NRL clubs being successful because that's the point of competition. That's the point of competition. All
right? Exactly right.
It's no fun watching the same three teams make a grand final every year, which is really what we've had for the last decade or so. You know, there's only been, what, one grand final? So...
Two.
You know, yeah.
2011,
2015. But even going back, yeah. Yeah, so there's been...
And 2014.
Just the 2015 grand final, you know? But I think, you know, I want to see the Tigers succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to come at the expense of the Broncos because they're all... That's just...
It is what it is, mate. So that will just about wrap this one up. We've got one more episode in the plan for next year, and it's going to be a 2021 debrief. We're going to look back on our season previews, and yes, we did make some mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But
Are we getting Sean?
We might get Sean back.
I think we have to
get Sean back for the debrief.
Yeah, because then I'll get to bully him even more. What was it that he said in the?
Yeah. What when he called Kyle Flanagan a star?
Yes, that's the one. Oh, mate.
You know, success
because that's ringing in my nose right now. I've managed to convince the masses that Kyle Flanagan is not a good NRL player. My life is complete.
Okay, that's good. but also, we do have some exciting plans. So next year, the History Corner segments, like we're doing at the moment, will stay. But I'm going to be launching a pet project called, with a working title of the week it was. We're going to go through the week in rugby league. We're going to break down the games. And we're going to look at the judiciary. And I'm also going to do something a little bit more up my alley. And go through the media briefings that Graham Annesley does so you guys can better understand what they believe the referees are doing and also look at the charts and interpret them for younger audiences. So a lot is in the plan for 2022.
Can I make an effort to my teacher as well?
Why not? This is the place.
Because I haven't... I'm going to be bringing back the Instagram pages.
Hey!
Because I'm going to split them. I'm going to be bringing through.
It's called?
Yep.
And yep. I'm going to have one for Australia, which is going to be rugby league, soccer, cricket, and Formula One.
Love it.
But I'm also going to have one for America, which is your NBA and your NFL. So I'm splitting them up. That way it can attract viewers for different ones.
Love the idea.
And
love
the idea. Yeah, I'm hopefully going to enjoy it, and I think it's something I'm definitely looking forward to. It's going to be launching New
Year. Can't wait to get in.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope next year with my weekly podcast, I'm going to try and introduce new people onto the show, and we're going to try and make it more accessible to a wider audience. So that will just about wrap it up for this edition. We'll see you one more time before 2021 is out for the debrief. But that's the way it was. See you, everyone.
Yep. Thank you for the Tigers for creating this amazing... And we'll see you all... Oh, I can't even say we'll see you all next year. Damn.
Yes.
See you guys later.
Or maybe just after Christmas. We don't have a date yet.
Take care.
All right, ladies, guys. Playing like a model, then playing like Superman. Or a big man, even bigger, to collect.